The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I just dropped a new lyric video called Shut the Fuck Up. It's a single from my collab album I did with my label mate Lex Aziz. So you can find that on my website, katietrop.net, or my YouTube page, youtube.com/katietrop. So check that out if you want to. Well, it's officially March Madness time, y'all. So, we'll get into the bracket talk towards the end of the show, but we did have quite a bit of NFL shit kick off this past weekend. Actually, right after I finished recording my episode on Friday, news broke that the Carolina Panthers have officially traded for the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. As you know, the Chicago Bears had the pick. It didn't sound like they were really sold on one particular player that they really wanted at the number one pick. So it sounded like they were probably going to end up trading the pick, which is what they did. I feel like this is a great move for the Panthers and the Bears because the Bears, they need more than one player. They need a bunch of players. And they didn't even fall that far back in the first round. I believe they got the 9th overall pick in the draft. So they just fell back a little bit. But the Panthers, they 100% need a quarterback, and I imagine that's what they're going to be going after with the first pick in the draft. So they've got their pick at whoever they want. There's a few good, solid picks out there, so we'll see what happens with that. But the Carolina Panthers are now officially on the clock. They have about a month and a half until they have to make that pick, but I'm sure they have somebody in mind. And this is, like I said, great move for the Panthers. Because now they are definitely in rebuilding mode, trying to turn this organization around and getting the number one overall pick, hopefully finding their next franchise quarterback with the team that's pretty decent. I mean, their defense is really good. They're going to need some more weapons because they did trade away DJ Moore, their wide receiver. So they're definitely going to need some help for whoever this next quarterback's going to be. But good move for the Panthers and a good move for the Chicago Bears as well. Then we also had cornerback Jalen Ramsey. The Los Angeles Rams ended up trading him to the Miami Dolphins. The last couple of weeks, there's been rumors that Jalen Ramsey was going to be traded, and he has now officially been traded. This is a great move for Miami, in my opinion. I feel like Jalen Ramsey, still one of the top cornerbacks in the league. I was actually hoping the Cowboys were going to trade for him. Obviously, they did not. But Miami now, Miami's big issues, in my opinion, last year were their defense. So now they have one of the top cornerbacks in the league. And this is absolutely only going to make them a much better team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Then today officially kicks off free agency. Free agency signings aren't allowed to happen until Wednesday officially. But today is what they have now dubbed non-tampering time, where you could basically start making deals, start talking to free agents. You just can't sign contracts or some shit. So we've had quite a few signings today, but the main couple of signings were Jimmy Garoppolo has officially signed with the Las Vegas Raiders. So the Raiders have their quarterback. Jimmy G has his team. He's going to work with Josh McDaniels, who was the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots when he was backing up Tom Brady. So he's very familiar with him. So we'll see how that goes. The Raiders have a lot of work to do on the offensive side of the ball, so we'll see what happens. But we all know Jimmy G is more of a game manager who needs weapons around him. So if the Raiders want him to be successful, they better start putting some weapons around him. But it's definitely a good move for them because you know, losing Derek Carr. And so they just really didn't have any options at quarterback. And so Jimmy G, he's a solid veteran. He's proven he could get the job done. And there's familiarity with the between him and the coach. So we'll see how that goes. But I think it's a good pickup. And then the last big signing of the day today was by the San Francisco 49ers, who made their number one defense even more number one-er by signing defensive tackle Javon Hargrave, who was basically the top-ranked free agent of the entire offseason, and he ends up going to the San Francisco 49ers, as if Nick Bosa wasn't a big enough problem. Now they had to add Javon Hargrave right in the middle. So not only are they solid on the ends, they're solid at linebacker, but now they're solid right in the middle with one of the top defensive tackles in the league. So big signing for the 49ers there. All right, so now let's move on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. A little bit of shakeups, not too much. You know, it is the season starting to wind down, so I don't really expect too many more shakeups to happen here. But especially at the top spot, still belongs to the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 48-19. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Orlando Magic and the Brooklyn Nets, and lost to the Golden State Warriors. It's really just Giannis has still been battling through injuries. But overall, this team is very good. And one of the best, even without Giannis, which says a lot. Drew Holiday has really just had a phenomenal season. And this team just looks like they're poised and ready to make a nice championship run. Then the number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Philadelphia 76ers. Overall record of 45-22. They are currently on a 5-game winning streak, which is the longest winning streak in the NBA right now currently. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Indiana Pacers, the Minnesota Timberwolves, Portland Trail Blazers, and the Washington Wizards. Right now, they are actually first in three-point percentage. So they are not only are they knocking down the shots, but they're knocking down the threes and just scoring everybody out of the building. But also, Joel Embiid has really, really stepped it up defensively. You know, he's been a huge offensive powerhouse for them this whole entire season. But defensively, the dude has really been getting it done. And he's just having a phenomenal season. But he had a really good week, especially on the defensive side of the ball this week. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 47-21. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Cavaliers, but beat the Portland Trail Blazers and the Atlanta Hawks. Right now, they're second in points per game. They're averaging 118 points per game. So they're still, that's pretty much been their solid average the entire season. So they've just been scoring everybody out of the building. They have been having to battle through the injuries the last couple of weeks. Tatum's missed a game or two here. Marcus Smart's missed some games, so that's kind of been their Achilles heel the last couple of weeks. But I mean, everybody's battling through injuries at this point in the season. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that is moving on up and right now looks to be the best in the West, at least this week. I still don't believe in them, but they're there, and I have to talk about them, and that's the Sacramento Kings. Overall record of 40-26. They're currently on a 3-game winning streak, 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the New Orleans Pelicans, the New York Knicks, and the Phoenix Suns. So not only are they getting big wins, but the Knicks and the Suns are legit teams, and they took care of business against those two teams. And they are currently leading the league in points per game at 121 points per game. So they are also just scoring everybody out of the building. And I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Kings because, like I said, I haven't believed in them all season. Didn't believe in them from the jump. Didn't believe in them as they were, you know. I mean, the Kings have pretty much been one of the most consistent teams in the Western Conference this season. But I can't believe in them until they prove something to me. So we'll see what happens come postseason because they're obviously going to make the postseason. But I mean, right now they're playing really well. They've continued to play well this entire season. And we'll see what happens when the postseason arrives. But right now, Kings playing some excellent basketball. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 46-22. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Toronto Raptors, but have lost to the Chicago Bulls, the San Antonio Spurs, and the Brooklyn Nets. So they're on a bad losing streak against some bad teams right now. And that's what I mean about the Nuggets. They're a very solid team. You know, Nikola Jokic, he's having yet another spectacular MVP type season. But the Nuggets, they're just another team. I don't believe that they're a legit championship contender. Now, with the way the Western Conference is, they absolutely could represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. But I don't think they have a shot at winning the NBA Finals. So I think it's all about the Eastern Conference right now. But the Nuggets, they're on a bad losing streak right now against some not very good teams. But that's also kind of been the MO of the Western Conference this year. It's just that you'll get on a nice winning streak, then you'll fall apart, and then you'll have a little bit of a losing streak, and then you'll get it back. So I expect the Nuggets to still be one of the top contenders, but I don't know if I believe in them. I still don't believe in them yet. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the New York Knicks. Overall record of 40-30. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Charlotte Hornets, the Sacramento Kings, and the Los Angeles Clippers. But they did beat my Lakers yesterday, and they kicked their fucking ass yesterday. But really, what's killing the Knicks right now is, of course, injuries. Because Jalen Brunson, he's been injured this last week. So they're really missing his defense, and they're really missing his scrappiness out there on the court. But they were able to get a big win against my Lakers yesterday in dominating fashion. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Phoenix Suns, overall record of 37-30. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, but lost to the Sacramento Kings. Devin Booker is back and better than ever. He is just scoring like no other. Ayton, he's just in the paint, dominating the paint. Kevin Durant is injured right now, so they're going to have to get along without him. But he's only supposed to be out for a couple of weeks, so he should definitely be back by playoff time, which is when they're definitely going to need him. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall record of 40-26. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Lakers, but they beat the Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks. Ja Morant is still out. Still no timetable on when they're going to put him back in the game. And him missing time right now is just about the worst thing that could be happening for the Memphis Grizzlies. They are treading water. They are second in the Western Conference. But with no Ja Morant, you really can't believe in this team. And I just kind of feel like they might end up being one of those quick exits once we hit the playoffs. Then at number nine on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Golden State Warriors, overall record of 35-33. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Memphis Grizzlies, but they beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Big win right there. Right now, the Warriors are actually averaging 118 points per game, which is tied for second in the league right now with the Boston Celtics. But that says a lot because the Warriors have just been a very up-and-down team. They've been battling through the injuries all season long. But Steph Curry is back, and ever since he's come back, they've really started to light it up and get hot at the exact right time of the season. But I don't know if this team has a shot at the championship. I mean, of course they do because they are the defending champs. They do have their same core that has multiple championships. But I don't know, man. This team has a lot of questions, and I don't know if they could keep it rolling for an entire playoff run. But then again, they are the defending champs, so they do know how to get the job done. And they're surging at the perfect time of the year. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Overall record of 43-27. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat, and the Charlotte Hornets, and lost to the Miami Heat. And they just continue to play pretty consistent basketball. But they're also one of those teams where I don't really believe in them. But they're still playing, like I said, great basketball. And they probably are going to make a pretty decent playoff run, but I don't think they're going to make a championship type run. All right, and now that we have finished talking NBA, now we can talk some March Madness. Brackets are set, so I'm going to go ahead and break my entire bracket down for you and tell you who my champion's going to be. And then I'm going to follow up every single show and let you know how horrible my bracket looks or how okay my bracket looks. We'll find out which side of the bracket has the big old, what I like to refer to as the big old period stain all the way across it, because, you know, I'll pick a team for the Final Four or even the championship and they'll lose in the first round, and then you'll just see that big red mark all the way down to the final, and I refer to that as the period stain, because nothing is worse than period blood. Mark my words on that shit. Ain't even joking on that. But anyways, I digress to things that actually matter, and that is March Madness, which begins on Thursday. It actually technically begins tomorrow, because we have the couple of play-in games for the first round, but it all really gets started on Thursday. And, you know, as I said last year with my bracket, I don't have any rhyme or reason really to my picks. I usually just look at the matchup and pick. So there really isn't even any major thought into it. It's really just look at the matchup and pick. Sometimes I do have a couple of teams who I already kind of thought would be good championship contenders, and so they did make it, but oddly enough, so this is a weird bracket for me. I went completely fucking off the wall with my picks here, so there's a good chance I'm going to have a big old period stain on all fucking four sides of my bracket by the time Friday rolls around, or next Monday, but we'll see what happens. But like I said, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, who the hell, whose bracket looks perfect? Usually nobody's, but I have such an oddball bracket. Not one number one seed makes it to my Final Four. So I was like, holy shit, that's fucking weird. And like I said, I just pick my shit. I don't really go, oh, I have to have this team in it. Nope, just pick. Now, when we get to the end and I pick my champion, yeah, I'm just going to say it. I'm going there, bitches. I am going there. So let's get started with all of my March Madness bracket here. Let's begin with the south side of the bracket. The south side. Yeah, south side, motherfuckers. All right, so in the south side of the men's tournament bracket, we have the number one seed is Alabama, and the number two overall seed over on this side of the bracket is Arizona. So the first matchup is Alabama versus either TAMCC or SEMO. Couldn't tell you who either of those schools are, but one of those schools is going to grab the final seed in one of those play-in games, Tuesday or Wednesday. Doesn't matter, though. I picked Alabama. Then the next matchup is Maryland versus West Virginia. I picked Maryland. Then the next matchup is San Diego State versus Charleston. I picked San Diego State. Then we have Virginia versus Furman. I picked Virginia. Creighton versus NC State. I picked NC State in a upset. Then we have Baylor versus UCSB. I picked Baylor. Then we have Missouri versus Utah State. I picked Utah State in an upset. And then we have Arizona versus Princeton. And I picked Arizona in that matchup. So then my round of 32 on the south side of the bracket is Alabama versus Maryland, which I picked Alabama. Then San Diego State versus Virginia, I picked San Diego State. Then NC State versus Baylor, I picked Baylor. And then Utah State versus Arizona, I picked Arizona. So in my Sweet 16 on the south side, I have Alabama versus SDSU. And then I have San Diego State upsetting Alabama and moving on to the Elite Eight. And then we have Baylor versus Arizona. And then I have Baylor upsetting Arizona and moving on to the Elite Eight. So then my Elite Eight matchup in the South Side bracket would be San Diego State versus Baylor. And I picked San Diego State to move on to the Final Four. So yeah, that's my, I'd say that's probably my biggest upset because the East bracket, which is what I'm going to do next, I do feel like it's kind of an upset, but then they're also the overall number two seed. Whereas San Diego State, yes, they are the, they're the number five seed, and I don't think a lot of people are looking at them. But just they've always been a very good team when it comes to the March Madness tournament. And they always seem to make some noise. And so I just kind of feel like they're going to be a team that makes some noise. And I feel like they're going to grab the Final Four spot in the South side of the bracket. Now let's move on to the East side of the bracket. Number one seed over here is Purdue. And the number two seed is Marquette. So the first matchup is Purdue versus Texas Southern or FDU. I'm going to call FDU Fuck Dummy Up. That's what the name of that school is, Fuck Dummy Up School. So I kind of hope that they end up as the winner in the play-in tournament. Doesn't matter, though, because I picked Purdue to move on. Then the next matchup is Memphis versus Florida Atlantic. I picked Florida in that matchup. Or I'm sorry, I picked Memphis in that matchup. Then we have Duke versus Oral Roberts. As much as I wanted to choose Oral Roberts just because this school is called Oral Roberts, I went with Duke. Then Tennessee versus Louisiana, I took Tennessee. Then Kentucky versus Providence, I picked Kentucky. Kansas State versus Montana State, I picked Montana State. Michigan State versus USC, I picked Michigan State. And then Marquette versus Vermont, I picked Marquette. So then the round of 32 on the east side, I have Purdue versus Memphis. I picked Purdue in that matchup. Then Duke versus Tennessee. I picked Tennessee in that matchup. Then Kentucky versus Montana State. I picked Kentucky in that matchup. By the way, Montana State, I didn't mention that's my upset on this side of the bracket because they did take out Kansas State, at least in my picks here. But they do lose to Kentucky, so that's who I picked in this one. And then the final matchup in the round of 32 that I have on the east side of the bracket is Michigan State versus Marquette, and I picked Marquette. So then my Sweet 16 on the east side of the bracket is Purdue versus Tennessee. I picked Tennessee to upset Purdue in this one, just because Purdue is starting to kind of fall apart. Purdue's been one of the most consistent teams for the most part in college basketball this season, but these last couple of weeks, they've really started to fall apart, and I wouldn't be surprised if they start to fall apart at some point in this, and I think Tennessee's a good enough team to beat them, so I've got Tennessee moving on in that matchup. Then I have Kentucky versus Marquette, and I have Marquette moving on in that matchup, so my Elite Eight on the east side of the bracket is Tennessee versus Marquette, and I have Marquette moving on to the Final Four in the east side bracket, and that's really just because Marquette has been one of the best basketball teams this season, and they've been the exact opposite of Purdue, where I said Purdue's fallen apart these last couple of weeks, where Marquette has really started to turn it on, and they started to bump all the way up the rankings these last couple of weeks, so I really feel like Marquette is actually a really good fucking team this year, and I've got that team moving on to the Final Four. So yeah, so far, my two Final Four teams are rando-ass picks. San Diego State and Marquette. So now let's move on to the Midwest side of the bracket. Number one seed over here is Houston. Number two, my Texas Longhorns, hook 'em horns, motherfucker. So the first matchup over here is Houston versus North Kentucky. I have Houston moving on in that matchup. Then Iowa versus Auburn. I have Auburn moving on in that matchup, which is kind of an upset because it is a 6-9 matchup. But I just feel like Auburn is, they're a good team, and I feel like they're poised for an upset at some point in here, so I feel like they're going to move on. Then we have Miami against Drake. I've got Miami moving on in that matchup. Then Indiana versus Kent State. I have Indiana moving on in that matchup. Iowa State versus Mississippi State or Pittsburgh. Whoever wins tomorrow or Wednesday is going to be in the round of 64. Doesn't matter, though. I have Iowa State moving on. then Xavier versus Kennesaw State. I have Xavier moving on. Then Texas A&M versus Penn State. I have Penn State upsetting Texas A&M and moving on. Penn State actually, you know, just played really well in their conference tournament. And usually when that happens, it usually spells trouble for at least their first couple of opponents. And then my Texas Longhorns versus Colgate. I, of course, have Texas taking care of business in that matchup. So my round of 32 on the Midwest side of the bracket is Houston versus Auburn. I have Houston moving on in that matchup. Then Miami versus Indiana. I have Miami moving on in that matchup. Then Iowa State versus Xavier. I have Xavier moving on in that matchup. And then Penn State versus Texas. I, of course, have my Longhorns moving on in that matchup. Then my Sweet 16 on the Midwest side would be Houston versus Miami. I have Miami upsetting Houston in that one just because Miami has played really what I would call really good. They're that silent but deadly team. Nobody has been talking about Miami all season, but yet they've been hovering around the rankings all season long and been one of the best teams. They're just playing really well. And even though Houston is also playing really well, I just don't know if I believe in them. And so I took Miami in an upset over here. Then I have Xavier versus Texas. And of course, you know I'm taking my Texas Longhorns in that matchup. So my Elite Eight in the Midwest bracket would be Miami versus Texas. And I'm taking my Texas Longhorns motherfuckers to make it to the Final Four for the Midwest bracket. And I would just like to point out that I was right this weekend. The Longhorns are the Big 12 champs. They took out Kansas yet again this season, and they are the Big 12 champions. And I think that's a great move for the Texas Longhorns. This is a great push for them to make a nice little tournament run, just get it warmed up with the Big 12 tournament. And now let's move on. I've got the Texas Longhorns moving on to the Final Four. And yes, I don't give a shit if y'all think I'm sounding like a homer, but the Longhorns are actually a pretty damn good basketball team this year. So I've got them moving on to the Final Four in the Midwest bracket. Now let's move on to the West side of the bracket. The number one overall seed over here is Kansas. Number two is UCLA. First matchup is Kansas versus Howard. I have Kansas moving on. Then Arkansas versus Illinois. I have Arkansas moving on. Then St. Mary's versus VCU. I actually have VCU upsetting St. Mary's in that one. Then UConn versus Iona. I have UConn moving on. Then TCU versus Arizona State or Nevada. Whoever wins in the play-in gets to play against TCU. Doesn't matter to me, though, because I got TCU moving on. Then we have Gonzaga versus Grand Canyon. I've got Gonzaga moving on. Then Northwestern versus Boise State. I have Northwestern moving on. And then UCLA versus NC Asheville. I have UCLA moving on. So my round of 32 in the Western bracket, I have Kansas versus Arkansas. I have Kansas moving on in that one. Then VCU versus UConn. I have VCU upsetting UConn in that matchup. Then TCU versus Gonzaga. I have Gonzaga winning that one. And then Northwestern versus UCLA. I have UCLA winning that one. So then my Sweet 16 on the West side is Kansas versus VCU. I have Kansas winning that matchup. And then Gonzaga versus UCLA. I have UCLA winning that matchup. And then my Elite Eight on the West side of the bracket would be Kansas versus UCLA. And I have UCLA moving on to the Final Four on the West side of the bracket. And that's just because they have been one of the best teams in basketball this season. And once again, they're another one of those teams nobody's really talking about, but has been playing excellent basketball. So I have them moving on to the Final Four. So my Final Four is this: San Diego State versus Marquette and Texas Longhorns versus UCLA. Now, I told you this was going to be a weird-ass bracket. I just picked weird-ass shit. Now, I'm excited if this really does happen because y'all know I'm a huge Texas Longhorns fan, but I love UCLA too. So I will be happy if that's what the matchup ends up being, because hey, either one of them would be going to the championship. So San Diego State versus Marquette. I have Marquette moving on to the national championship. That's how much I believe in them. And then between Texas and UCLA, come on now. Y'all know I'm picking my Texas Longhorns. Hook 'em horns, motherfucker. So my national championship matchup is Marquette versus Texas. And what do you know? Who do y'all think I am picking? I'll let you guess. Just guess. Who do you think I am going to pick between Marquette or my favorite team, the Texas Longhorns? I don't know. That's a tough one. Oh, that's right. I'm taking my Texas Longhorns, motherfucker. I am taking my Texas Longhorns as the national champions. I know. I didn't really think I was going to end up there. As I said, I just pick shit. I do think the Longhorns are going to play well in this tournament. I do like what I'm seeing from them. I do hope we sign the interim coach to a long-term deal, because the Longhorns, they believe in him and have been playing well under him. And I feel like them winning a national championship will only solidify that deal for him. So, yeah, my national champion matchup is Marquette versus Texas, and I've got Texas taking it away. So, as I said, not one number one seed in my Final Four. Actually, all number twos except for San Diego State, Texas, UCLA, and Marquette are all number two seeds. So that's not too bad. But I don't think a lot of people have that type of a bracket. But then again, if you really look at the bracket and you look at the college basketball playing field this year, there is not one dominant team where you look at them and go, yeah, they got this. I mean, if you really look at all the number one seeds, for example, let's look at Alabama. They've been one of the best teams all season long. But let me tell you something. They do have a blemish on their squad. And that is, they do have a player who is currently playing right now. I'm telling you the story just offhand. I'm not looking at the story right now, but I do know one of their players was involved in a shooting. I don't believe he did the actual shooting. I believe he was the one who had the gun and then gave the gun to the shooter. And in this shooting, people died. But this guy is still playing basketball. And if you haven't heard about it yet, there's a good chance you're going to hear about it at some point during the tournament. I've already been seeing articles out the ass today, and the tournament starts on Thursday. So I feel like we're going to hear about that. And I kind of feel like at some point, that's going to bring them down. Because you don't like that. You don't need that kind of shit. But I do think Alabama is a really good team, and they absolutely could win the national championship. But that's kind of just the blemish I look at with them. Then you turn to Houston, and yeah, they've been pretty much the number one team all season. But they also have their weaknesses as well. They've had a couple of big losses that you really wouldn't have expected from them this season. And they are in a pretty tough bracket. I mean, when you've got Texas who's playing well, you've got Auburn who's playing well, you've got Miami who's playing well, you've got Indiana who's playing well, Penn State who just made a nice little run in the Big Ten tournament. So they're in a difficult division. Then you turn to the West, where Kansas is number one, and Kansas has actually not been playing well. I mean, as I just said, they got stomped by the Longhorns this weekend in the Big 12 tournament, and then they got stomped at home last weekend by the Longhorns. Yeah, the Longhorns kicked their ass 2 weeks in a row. And it wasn't just a win. I'm not like shit-talking, like fan shit-talking. I'm like actual shit-talking. Like, they legitimately got their asses beat by the Texas Longhorns. So you can't really look at Kansas and go, oh, yeah, they're 100% shoo-in. And then you turn to the East, and the number one seed over here is Purdue. And as I said, Purdue has been a really solid basketball team up until the last couple of weeks, and they've had some pretty bad losses. So I look at this tournament, and I'm like, I feel like this is one of the most wide-open tournaments that's probably going to be full of parity. I feel like we're going to have we always get good upsets, always do. There's always some excellent upsets. But this tournament, to me, is wide-ass open, and that's why when I ended up with the Final Four that I did and the national championship and the champion that I ended up with, I'm not really that surprised, just because there's so much going on here. I feel like there's going to be a lot of different teams that we feel like aren't really anything to talk about and then just could come out of nowhere and they'll end up in the Final Four. So we'll see what happens. As I said, I will be updating you along the way on my period stain bracket, because I'm sure Thursday rolls around, I'm going to see quite a bit of red on this, because we always do. But that's the fun of it. So like I said, we'll see where I'm at Friday. Shouldn't be too bad on Friday because we'll only have Thursday's games under our belt and then probably a few games on Friday, if even one or two. But shouldn't be too bad on Friday, but a week from today, it's probably gonna look pretty bad. I'm sure one of those Final Four teams is going to be out of it, but if not all four, because that has happened to me before. There's been, I think, once or twice on my brackets where after week one, entire Final Four completely demolished. So we'll see if I'm able to do that. But like I said, I feel like this year there's going to be a lot of parity in March Madness because there is not one super standout team that you look at and go, that's the champion. That's the winner. That's the most dominating team. So let's see what happens, y'all. Enjoy the tournament. Remember, the couple of little play-in games begin tomorrow, but shit really kicks off on Thursday. And that's right, y'all. I got the Texas Longhorns as the national champions. So hook 'em, horns, motherfuckers. I will talk to you on Friday. But just of note, on Wednesday, I've got a special little bonus episode for you where I've compiled some of my my trop lists, and we're going to call this one NBA Legends. So look out for that, but we will have a special brand new show where we're talking nothing but March Madness on Friday. So I will talk to you all then.